Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today we are having a very, very different type of a show. September is Suicide Awareness Month, and I have been in touch with my good friend Phil Robinson, again from Living Links, and we'll be talking with her a little while later. But my guest today is Pat, and Pat is going to be sharing with us his story. And obviously as a result, because of the type of topic that we're speaking about, obviously it contains a person and having lost their life through suicide. So Pat, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you, Nigel.
And just to give a small bit of background to your story, can you share what was your loss, what took place in your life?
Thank you, Nigel. Well, my wife, Pauline, I was married to her for 25 years, and we had our ups and downs in our marriage, but nothing to ever come that I thought that she would take her life through suicide. On the 6th of August 2019, it all happened that Pauline took her life through suicide. And I have three sons. I have three sons. And my youngest was 15, my second boy was 18, and my eldest boy was 24. And we were left in limbo. We didn't know what to do. It took its toll on us all, to be honest with you.
So just, Pat, on that, with the ages that the lads were at,
yes,
does that mean that some of them then were in exam years? Or
yeah, two of my boys, my youngest boy was doing his junior cert, and my second boy was doing his leaving cert that year, yeah.
I think it's very important to note, as you've said, that life was normal. There was just, this was something just completely out of the blue. There was no warning signs, no anything. As you said, you did ups and downs, but it wasn't that it was a situation where there was anything, any sign of warning bells or anything else like that in regard to Pauline, no.
Absolutely, Nigel. There was no warning signs that I could see, or the lads even, you know, with Pauline, like, you know. She was, life was normal, we thought, you know. It just so happened that she just got up one morning and went, and, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her since, to be honest with you, you know. Yeah.
So, you were saying that it suddenly threw you completely into limbo.
Yes.
Life had taken a curveball that you were not expecting at all. So how did you work your way through that situation?
Well, it took a while to try and get ourselves to try and deal with it. It was a terrible shock to us all. You know, we had the support of great neighbours and friends and everything for a couple of weeks after that, and my family was very supportive, and Pauline's family as well was very supportive to me. And then we eventually we reached out for counselling. I went to a girl called Bernie and Pieta House with her for a while, and then my health started to break down. And I had to get medical assistance with that, and try and keep the lads going as well was a big challenge, you know. In school, they're still in school, and my eldest boy is working, and try and keep him going as well. But after the medical intervention, then Living Links reached out to me, Phil and Rita. And they really helped me through my journey. You know, came out to us and sat down with us and talked to us and about it.
Let's explore all of that journey in a little bit more detail.
Yeah.
So from your initial contacting Pieta House.
Yes.
To being in touch with Phil in Living Links.
Yes.
What sort of time frame are we speaking? Are we speaking months, years?
No, about 6 weeks, I'd say, from the time of I started with Pieta House. Then, as I said, my health started to deteriorate, and I had to go and get help with that. And after that, then, it was actually my sister, Mary, knew Phil, and she put Phil in contact with me, and Phil reached out in rehab. It took off from there, then. She helped us all, the whole lot of us. I sat down with the whole lot of us, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was chatting with Phil before, she was saying that there was various stages that she had gone through in her own process.
Yeah.
And part of that process was, though, where she came into a thing that she describes as being a fog.
Yes.
That there was just no way out, and being crippled by that.
Absolutely.
So can you explain how that impacted you?
Yeah, it impacted me. It impacted me hugely, because I didn't know, at the time, I didn't know what was the cause or what. I was trying to search back to see, was there any triggers there that, you know, through her life or whatever, but nothing came to mind. But it's just feeling the numbness and trying to deal with, you know, why it would happen and why it did happen, you know. It's a huge, and it is a fog. You're trying to look through, and there's no, you just feel there is no answers to your questions, you know, on any of it. You know, and that's, it kind of brings you into a state that you try and, you know, you go into yourself as well, and you don't, you know, it's hard, it's tough to try and keep going, but that's why when Phil came on board, it helped me, and these questions started to come from them, you know, from Phil to me, and talk to me and get me through it, you know, which has happened, you know, and still is happening, you know, and you're never through it, but it's just try and deal with it and live with it and that, you know. Yeah.
I think it's a very key point that you're bringing up, Pat, is part of it is just dealing with it.
Yeah.
And living with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's questions that still remain for you that are unanswered.
Absolutely, yeah. There is questions. The biggest question is why, you know, why it happened, and that Pauline didn't reach out to me or even to Phil or whatever, you know, to try and get help, to try and help her through whatever she was going through. That's the biggest thing, and that's, you know, it's the toughest of the whole lot of it, to be honest. You know, because I really feel if she did reach out to the likes of Phil, Living Links, she probably would be still, you know, still here with us. But nobody knows that either, but I'd hope that anyway, you know. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Pat. We'll take up your story again now in a few moments. Thank you. Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Today we are reflecting on the fact that September is Suicide Awareness Month. And Pat is here sharing his story with us following the loss of his wife Pauline through suicide, and the impact that has made upon him and his three boys and their journey since then. Pat, reflecting on your story before the break, I think it would be fair to say that the message that you would like to bring out for people is to reach out, that help is there. You believe that if Pauline had reached out, this could be a very different story, and you yourself had to come to a point where you reached out and received help in your hour of need. Would that be a fair thing to go and say? That your message is, reach out. There are people there to help you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Reach out. There is help there and great help there, you know. There is a time to do that and it will come to you eventually. My thing was that you have to be ready to reach out as well on your own, you know, your own self and for your own well-being as well. And that, you know, try and deal with it and come to terms with it. Yeah. The whole of it, you know.
So, how did this impact your everyday life? Working life, trying to make provision for the lads, trying to steer them through, as you said, through education at the time, trying to sit down and process those questions with them. Because it's one thing processing the questions for yourself, but also to try and sit down and have a table, around the table conversations at home.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's a lot of questions I've just thrown at you, but, you know.
Yeah.
How did those 3 years on, when you look back now, what sort of journey was that for the four of you?
It was a massive journey, and like a mother in any family is the key to a family, and to try and step in and play the mother's role and the father's role was tough, very, very tough. But we had, you know, my boys were very, very good. We did have talks, have chats, and, you know, talk to Mammy going, and even after when she did, like, you know, the after effect of it as well, and, you know, we'd be asking how we were and, you know, and all that, and just to, you know, to finally find the help then was the biggest thing, you know, to try and, you know, get us through. But we did, we managed. It was tough, very, very tough, now I have to say, you know. But as I said, the lads, they helped me through it as well, to be honest with you. You know, we all try and helped one another through it. We knew that we had to try and get through it the best we could. Yeah. Yeah.
So, share with me, Pat, the impact of Living Links upon your family.
Living Links was a huge, brilliant impact on our family. They literally lifted us up and got us going again, got us back on track. Through Phil and Riha calling out and being with us and sitting as part of a family at the kitchen table with us and talking to the three of us, myself and my two boys. My eldest boy lived in Dublin at the time, but he was getting counselling in Dublin, you know. And, you know, they just came out and sat with us and we told the story and they listened and, you know, told. They helped us hugely through our journey, you know. Absolutely. You know, even talking to us, bringing Pauline, the lad's mammy in, and we all talked, and Mammy was the lad's mammy and she was my wife, and, you know, it was just you know, the different wardens and all that through it, and the questions they asked the lads and everything, you know, it's lovely to hear it and to hear the lads talk about it as well, about their mother and whatever, you know, help them through it. Yeah, definitely.
So this wasn't that the person was just being forgotten or just pushed aside, it was actually to be able to go and still be able to speak of the person and the involvement of them in their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a huge involvement. She always had a huge involvement in their life, you know, and, you know, was always there for them. And just to have that switched off so quickly was tough on them, very tough on them, you know, to try and keep going for themselves as well, you know. And just, you know, it was the very same. It just brought us together and got us, you know, got us through it and got us going again. And, you know, yeah, it's, it was tough now, I have to say. Yeah, very, very tough.
So if there was someone Pat who was listening to this show, and they're either contemplating the idea of suicide, or they are someone who has been bereaved by suicide, what would your message be to them?
My message would be that there is help out there, definitely, and even to talk to somebody, family, friends, you know, just the key I found to it was to talk about it and talk about Pauline as well, you know, talk got me through it, talking to people and even talking, telling my story after, in the aftermath of it, helped me on a huge journey, and it really made me, you know, it brought me through, absolutely. And my message to any person is to talk to somebody. Don't keep it all in, just talk to somebody and reach out there, and there is huge help out there to try and, you know, get people through. I know it's not easy to talk to people, but that is my message, that you have to talk. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
I think one of the things that's very important to mention as well at this point, that suicide is something that has basically impacted every family or every community. It's not something that is a taboo subject, although it's treated a bit like that. There's a shame factor to it or whatever. The reality is that there's no one has been gone untouched by it. And yet, there's always life. There's always hope, no matter how dark the day.
Absolutely, there is hope, yeah. And the hope is that you do reach out to somebody and, you know, get the help that you need at the time and try and, you know, get your life back in order the best you can. It never will be that it was before, but, you know, there is mechanisms and ways of living with it. You know, it's still there, it's always there, and will always be there. But you just learn to cope, basically, and get going and go ahead again the best you can, you know.
Yeah. Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are reflecting on September being Suicide Awareness Month. And my guest today is Pat, who lost his wife Pauline after 25 years through suicide. There was no warning signs. There was nothing appeared out of the ordinary. Life was normal. They weren't going through any tribulations or troubles, just the regular ups and downs of life. And this really caught him and his three boys completely unaware. One day she got up and left, never to return. Pat has been outlining that journey that he and the boys have had since, and how his message is, if you need help, contact someone, family, friends, Pieta House, various services, whatever. But Pat,
you've mentioned counselling, you've mentioned Pieta House, you've mentioned that you needed medical intervention. These things are also can be in the psyche that it's an embarrassment or it's a shame to have to have gone and reached out. I know you're saying that those services are there and they're good and they really help, but can you explain maybe more detail? Say that initial conversation that you had with Pieta House. What brought you to the point to be able to phone them? What was it that then, that when you're actually conversing with her, that these put you on that road over those 6 weeks?
Yeah, I phoned her and just asked her, would she help me and help the boys through counselling? And I did. I went in and I got counselling until the time that my health just broke down and I couldn't go back again for a while. I felt I had to reach out to somebody because things were just starting to close in on me as well. The whole, you know, the shock of it, the initial shock of it was unreal, and trying, and I felt that I was just wading through, you know, I was just, the waves were coming at me and I just couldn't keep them pushed away, and I just felt I had to reach out to somebody and get help the best I could. And I was very concerned about my three boys as well, that try and get them help as well, you know. And then when I did, after my medical intervention, I reached out to Phil, and that really was the answer to my problems, as far as I knew. When Phil and Rika came into the house, that my three boys would be looked after as well, and that was my a big worry for me as well, that the lads would be okay on it as well, you know, try and get their lives back in order and keep going, you know, the best we could.
Pat, you've been sharing with us about how Pieta House was there, how you needed medical intervention, how it was that then Living Links came on board. The question I would like to ask is this, in the light of the situation that has taken place, what was the role of family like to yourself and the three boys?
My family was so important. They've been so supportive to me and the boys. It affected them hugely, the loss of Pauline. And they helped us through a journey. You know, there wasn't a night that they didn't reach out to me, come out to the house, spend time with me, my two brothers and my sister, my mother and my father. Absolutely a huge help, and still a huge support to us. And Pauline's family as well, I have to say. A huge support to me and the lads as well. And always have reached out to us. And, you know, kept us going in our darkest hours as well. You know, before we reached out to Phil and Pieta House, they were there from the start, you know, and helped us on a huge journey, and still help us to this day. Yeah, absolutely.
So a word that you would go and give then to families that are around those who have lost a loved one via this way, via suicide, is reach out and be there.
Absolutely.
For that person.
Be there for that person, and, you know, try and help them through their journey. It's a huge journey, and a very dark journey for the person, for the people that's involved, every person, but especially the person that, like me, a husband to Pauline, a father to the lads, and, you know, trying, you know, they reached out to help me, they kept me going and kept the lads going, and that was a huge benefit to me at the time as well, you know, as support to me as well. Yeah, absolutely.
So, folks, one of the things I would like to just bring up from this conversation I'm having here with Pat is, speak about the elephant in the room. Don't be trying to sweep this situation under the carpet or pretend it didn't exist or it didn't happen, but actually go and be there and come around and alongside the people who are involved in the story that you know. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, Nigel. Absolutely. You know, just be there for one another and help one another through it is a huge, especially family and friends as well, and neighbours and everybody, you know. I had great support through everybody, friends, neighbours. People still talk to me and come up to me in the street and say, I didn't know what to say to you at the time, you know. And that's people with, you know, just, they did not, and nobody does know what to say to you, but just, even the support of that person coming to you and just saying that to you helps you through a little bit as well, you know.
And being honest.
And being honest, absolutely. Being honest, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's better to say that they didn't know what to say at the time than
absolutely
just trying to fluff it off.
Or, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, look, thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you for interviewing me.
No
appreciate
problem.
It.
So, thank you for your time and for joining with me.
Yeah.
Folks, welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And my thanks to Pat for sharing his story. And now I am joined by Phil from Living Links. Welcome, Phil. It's good to have you back with me again and talking on such a very serious topic as we are. And it's wonderful to hear of the intervention that Living Links and yourself and Rita have made in Pat's life. And I know that you are coming from the place of having walked that road yourself in many ways with the loss of your son a number of years ago. Phil, first, could you explain to us in greater detail what it is that Living Links does and how it is that you were able to go and assist Pat on his journey?
Okay, Nigel, thank you. Now, first of all, let's not forget Beata with the first intervention. All right? So they did their work as far as he came until his medical intervention was needed. All right? In the aftermath of that, then, Pat did hear of Midlands Living Links. As Pat said, he heard through his sister of me, and his sister knew that I was with Midlands Living Links. So I suppose on arriving at Pat's home, they were a mess. They were a total mess. They did not know whether they were coming or going. But like Pat said, we sat around the table. We entered that home, we became a family. And there was no problem or issue about that. And we often sat for hours. There was never a time limit on our visits, like, which was vitally important. So I think we always left them feeling that bit better, that little bit better as we were leaving. But also knowing that we were coming back was awfully important, both to Pat and the boys.
So this is just literally, as an organisation, you're journeying with the person in whatever amount of time there is, with the assurance that you're going to be continuously there for them.
Yeah, we travel the journey with them. We listen. More importantly than anything else, we listen to them. We hear them, which is vitally important. And as I say, we spend as much time as is necessary for them to be able to come from a crawling stage to a walking stage and eventually be able to walk without a crutch. So I think they're almost there, but we are still in and out with them, and we are always there as a support network for them.
The broader work of Living Links, Phil, and the area that you cover geographically as well, and if someone has been bereaved by suicide, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, we cover four counties. Basically, we work mostly, we do Longford, Westmeath, Leash and Offaly. But we work mostly in Leash, Westmeath and Offaly. How did they get in contact with us? Well, our coordinator's number, who is Aidan, and his number is 086-1600-641. 086-1600-641. We don't have a particular place, but it's all phone. Do you know what I mean? All contact by phone. And then we either go to a home under request of the family, or we go to a safe place where we can have confidentiality with a family. We are very much a voluntary organisation. The listening ear is the most important thing that we supply. We make suggestions. Sometimes we may suggest a person needs medical intervention or needs even to be put in contact with some other group who may be of more help to them. But, yeah, we just sit and listen is the most important thing. And talk is invaluable. Like Pat was saying, we talked. That is powerful, to talk. Be able to unburden, to empty that barrel and keep the emptiness until the water becomes easy running.
The key thing is that it is very easy to go and, as Pat has been sharing, to become introverted, to start to go inward in your thinking, to believe that no one cares, that no one is actually there, no one understands your predicament or situation. But with Living Links, that isn't the case, as you're people who've all walked that particular road.
Yes.
Yourselves.
Most of us have our losses similar to Pat's, but not the same, because there's no two that way is the same.
Yeah, each story is different.
Each story is different, and very, very different. Like, so each story is an individual story. But having the experience behind you, and having walked through it yourself, it gives you a greater insight into how the person may be feeling. How they are feeling, we don't know, but how they may be feeling, you know?
Phil, one of the questions I want to put to you, and I've never put this to you before, in fairness, is, so how do you guys actually fund yourselves? You said that your charity is voluntary, so, but I'm sure you still have expenses.
We have a lot of expenses. We have no paid personnel, none of any sort. We get travelling expenses, which is the only expense we get. We have a lot of expenses. It's a printing. There's a huge amount of different things, insurances, etc., etc. We get a small grant of €9,000 from the HSC, which helps a lot, of course. But look, we reach out for any fundraisers we can get to try and put us through the year. Like.
So if someone listening to this show was there and they thought, well, look, I can actually help out and give Living Links something to help them in their work, to be able to assist people like Pat and Fiona, who was with me last year on the story, and yourself then as well. How can they go about doing that?
Get in touch with the coordinator on the number I have given you. If anyone wants my number, the coordinator will give the number. And like to say in Tesco's, every little helps. Every little helps. You might think, you know, it's a small thing to be doing maybe a coffee morning or whatever. But every penny of that makes a difference. It makes a difference to our clients, the people who are the most important.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're very welcome, Nigel. I'll repeat that number again if you don't
please,
mind.
Please, please.
Aidan on 086-1600-641. On 086-1600-641.
Phil, also you have a few events, memorial masses, etc., taking place, gathering around various trees of hope that you've planted. Where are those taking place if someone would like to come along and be part of those ceremonies?
Well, there's one taking place in the Memorial Garden in Portlaoise. That date has yet to be organised, but of course through Aidan then the date can be found out. There is another one taking place in Port Arlington, in the Catholic Church in Port Arlington. There will be a mass there and a memorial service at the Tree of Hope in the aftermath. Now, also Tree of Hope in Portlaoise. That the one in Port Arlington is on the 3rd of October. The one in Longford, as yet I don't know the details, but there will be one going on in Longford because we also have a Tree of Hope in Longford.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're so welcome.
So, and as always, it's been a pleasure to be able to attend those, as you know, because I attend the one that takes place in Birr, which was yesterday.
Yes.
And was a wonderful occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's very important at this point to go and say that if anyone is contemplating suicide, to recognise that it is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. Mm. Would that be fair to say?
That is true, Nigel, because nothing is insurmountable. We can all climb a mountain if we reach out for the help. No matter how crippled we may think we are, that reaching out for that hand can pull you up, and there's no question about it.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you for your time. It's wonderful to be with you again. Thank you, Pat, for joining us as well.
Thank you, Nigel.
And sharing your story. Folks, if you have been listening to this, we just ask that if you need help, please reach out. The services are there. They do care. They will listen and they will help. We've mentioned Pieta House, also the Samaritans are there, Living Links, various other organisations. So please do not hesitate to contact these people and get the help that you need. Thank you.